You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now we have a piece. I talked to Chloe Swarbrick from the Green Party about the new mental health support program pilot thing for under 25s that was released earlier this week in Porirua. I started by asking what was encompassed in this program.
Yeah, so on Monday this week in Porirua, myself, Julianne Jenter, who's Associate Minister of Health and obviously Green MP, and Minister of Health, Dr. David Clark, announced the first rollout of the pilot to provide free, accessible mental health services to those between the age of 18 and 25. You know, this comes from a long and arduous campaign from myself and a number of those in civil society, speaking to the point that these services just simply aren't available, and when they are, the time wait times are ridiculously large, but also the costs associated and the hoops that you often have to jump through if you do want to get some form of financial support are just far, far too difficult. So the whole point of this pilot is starting to fulfil the confidence and supply agreement between the Greens and the Labor Party to see free mental health services available to all people in this country under the age of 25. And it's a really meaningful first step. It's the first time that we will see through a number of different touch points, whether that is self-referral. There's a number of different ways to do it, from calling the government number 1737 through to self-referral via app, or, you know, just popping into your GP, touching base with the local school, or even just turning up at one of the local clinics. Young people will be able to get access to these services, and there won't be the wait times typically associated with putting yourself forward for these kinds of services either. But what's actually really exciting about it for me is that it's not just going to be typical talk therapy. There is a range of different services available for people. And, you know, people will be able to go between what works for them. The one that is most exciting for me is peer support. And I think that peer support workers are the mental health workers of the future, insofar as they are people who have experienced, you know, and have first-hand experience of mental trauma and mental illness, and are able to work with young people who are experiencing the same thing after having been trained up and certified themselves. So that goes some way to addressing the concerns that the Health Minister has raised in the past with regard to the employment and training up the workforce.
Certainly, I think peer support and self-referral are really, really massive steps for a mental health system, as those are really core issues for a lot of people, especially when it comes to crisis management at some points.
Totally.
Sadly, that does get to that point a lot of the time. Will all of the proposed functions of, like, the future mental health program you look to implement be available in this pilot, or is this, are there some things that won't be rolled out in this pilot and saved for a kind of full-scale rollout?
Well, the intention and what I'm advocating for as the Green Party MP and my vision for mental health services in this country is to see every person in this country be able to access services when they need them and have those services be culturally appropriate and fit for purpose. So one of the cool things that is also inbuilt into this pilot, and it's quite different from a typical governmental pilot, which most people will, you know, think of as being quite a bureaucratic process. It actually has inbuilt a 90-day system where it learns and reflects on itself, and that's happening with the collaboration of the University of Otago doing studies on efficacy and access. And the pilot will then change according to those learnings, what's worked and what hasn't quite worked. So I think what we'll actually end up with is not just, you know, running the same thing over and over for, you know, the 6 months or onwards as it's rolled out throughout the rest of the Greater Wellington region up to Wairarapa by the end of this year. But we'll also see a program that becomes greatly improved over that period of time.
Certainly. I think a huge part of the mental health program that and just general health programs that aren't always often addressed are the perhaps societal causes and kind of the what some people say are the causes and others will label as compounding factors. So how do we create a mental health program, or how does this program reflect and or address the kind of inherent societal causes and other compounding factors, like such as poverty, trauma and isolation that may not always be considered?
yeah, those are the three things that I spoke about in my response to the Prime Minister's commencement speech in the House yesterday. You know, and I began it by acknowledging that I'd actually had a really terrible night's sleep because I had had another call about yet another young person in Auckland who had attempted to take their life. And this is, you know, far, far too frequent. I'm often coming up against particularly older people who are telling me that all we need to do is teach younger people resilience. But, you know, it's not as simple or as straightforward as resilience. The world has changed quite drastically and things are far more unsustainable and insecure than they perhaps ever have been, particularly if you look at the data. You know, we have the highest rates of inequality that we've had in this country since the 1980s when we first started collecting data. We have the lowest rates of home ownership since the 1960s, and half of our population is renting. You know, if you look at the employment market, it is no longer a linear career path for people, but there is very much the gig economy where we're being expected to all go out and get degrees, but in getting degrees we're having to take on huge amounts of debt that follow us for our entire lives. So these are the things which were actually considered in the Mental Health and Addictions Inquiry, which I was hugely supportive of, first and foremost because it went outside of the space of medicalising and pathologising issues of mental health, ill health, and recognising that even if there are underlying issues biologically or otherwise with people, you know, or people may be more susceptible or inclined to exhibit mental ill health, there are absolutely environmental factors that can trigger them or exacerbate them. So what we need to be looking at is a whole overhaul of the system, and that is in education, it is in health, it is in housing, it is in the justice system, it is also in employment, it is in power dynamics inside employment relationships. And this stuff's never going to change overnight, but I think it's a starting point of recognising that everything is connected and that the mental ill health crisis or epidemic is just the pointy end of a whole raft of other issues in our society, and that we need to be looking under the sheet and really addressing those and tackling them head on. If I can just have one other point, it's that, you know, there's absolutely a really key association there with addictions and substance abuse, and they are very similar driving factors in terms of poverty, trauma and isolation. And it is obviously the case that our current responses to substance abuse and addiction with regard to the legal and criminal system in particular only perpetuates those issues, particularly of trauma and isolation. And we cannot expect to solve any of these problems if we continue doing what we always have done.
What other steps can we take to make interactions with the mental health system safer for those who feel vulnerable or perhaps disenfranchised from the system that you speak about?
One of the major things that I picked up talking to particularly young people all around the country, but also older people as well, is that it's becoming increasingly difficult to demarcate what is a normal level of stress and when that stress passes the threshold into something that is unsustainable and maybe mental ill health. So I think that if we're actually able to, and this is what I've started to characterise as quite a solid point of rebellion, to be perfectly honest, if we're talking about the system, which is so fundamentally flawed in so many facets, if we're able to start talking to each other openly and clearly about our struggles, and, you know, not just resorting to the internet, which quite typically actually showcases a curated version of completely the opposite, i.e. our best lives, then I think that if we were able to build these communities and to talk to each other and to build those peer support networks without necessarily, you know, the training, but that training we are going to be building out and hoping to build capacity within networks. But again, I don't think that volunteers should be expected to be the backbone of this, because this is where everything is falling downhill to begin with. If we can enable people to feel comfortable about talking about their issues, even if they don't necessarily know the answers, then I think we're taking a great leap forward. It was Zoe Palmer, who's a fantastic young advocate, she's 18 years old, from Nelson, who advocated for CAM services in her regions, who said that, you know, when she was advocating for mental health services, she spoke to her own personal experience with mental health. And obviously, you know, that being the background of some quite negative experiences, but particularly that of anxiety and depression. and spoke about how in advocating and in revealing her past, she was told by a whole bunch of officials, for lack of a better word, that she was endangering her future by talking about these things. And I think it's quite ironic that on the one hand we're telling young people they have to be open and speak out if they have an issue, but on the other hand doing so is going to jeopardise their future. So we have to deal with that cognitive dissonance, and we have to actually, quite frankly, get rid of it. We have to make it okay for people to speak about their issues and not to know how they're necessarily going to solve them.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.